Hello, everybody. This is Scott Yates, Director of Communications and Producer Relations for the Washington Grain Commission, here with episode 178 of Wheat All About It, or what I'm calling a Philippine-centric view of South Asian wheat demand, from a presentation by the Director of National Sales in the Flour Division of Universal Robino Corporation based in Manila. Neda El Burro flew into Spokane for the Pacific Northwest Wheat Quality Meeting in part as a review of new wheat varieties for flour quality, but she also used the occasion to provide a perspective of one of the Pacific Northwest's most important markets. One could say the Philippines is our most important market, given that the island archipelago has topped the list of soft white wheat importers for the last 4 years, with Japan in second place and Indonesia in third. El Burro began a presentation with an overview of her company, Universal Robina, which in turn turns out to be one of many thoroughbreds in a stable full of them. Which is to say, her company is only one of a dozen owned by J.D. Summit Holdings, a $2.5 billion outfit that includes a bank, a land company, even an airline, among others. I've included a chart of the company's holdings on the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page, as well as other graphs and tables that El Burro refers to ahead. While you're there, please follow us. The sort of integration J.D. Summit Holdings has achieved is not uncommon among Asian companies that got their start in flour milling. My experience working with the Wheat Industry's Food Aid Committee for several years is that many of America's best customers today started out as food aid recipients. In countries including the Philippines, the first step was helping rice-based consumers develop a taste for products made from U.S. source flour. It wasn't much of a stretch from there to the formation of Philippine-based companies to import, mill, and bake U.S.-sourced wheat into products. When I investigated the success of U.S. food aid in the second half of the 20th century, I was struck by the fact that in the process of feeding the hungry, we wound up nourishing the brains of the very youngest during a critical stage of growth. Among those who were fed are many who went on to create the milling companies and the infrastructure that served as the foundation for what would become multinational giants. Although we get a lot of trade teams to Eastern Washington, much of the time they spend here is filled with us presenting a fire hose of information to them. Besides PowerPoint presentations, there are visits to transportation and inspection facilities, greenhouses, wheat fields, and farmers, as part of educating teams about the various links in our regional grain chain. It's rare, however, that a traveler creates a PowerPoint presentation about his or her own company, how it operates, and where it stands among U.S. wheat importers. Which is why, for me anyway, El Burro's presentation was so important. It not only gave me a perspective about a specific customer that I sorely lack, it again revealed how important, but largely overlooked, wheat has been in the development of economies around the world. You see, while wheat is the center of my solar system and remains so among those I work with, for many of our best customers, the grain served to fuel their ascension, but is now a single piece of a much more complicated, publicly owned corporate puzzle. Some notes before El Burro's presentation, she refers to something called ASEAN, which is shorthand for Association of Southeast Asian Nations, which includes the Philippines, Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, Vietnam, Singapore, Myanmar, Cambodia, and Brunei. She also mentions Joe Sowers. For those of you who aren't familiar with the name Sowers, he's Regional Vice President of U.S. Wheat Associates for the Philippines and Korea. As you listen ahead to the strides that U.S. wheat has made into the Philippines, much of that success has been fueled by Sowers and USW. Finally, El Burro talks about the young demographic of the Philippines and other nearby countries. For the record, the Philippines' median age is 23, while Indonesia and Vietnam's median age is 30. For comparison's sake, the median age in the U.S. is 38. El Burro began her January 30th, 2020 presentation with a short history of her company, Universal Robino.
We started our company in 1960. 60. So we started it with a cornstarch manufacturer. Actually, we start with agro-commodity. And then in the same year, about 1960, we venture into flour milling business and also hogs. In 1980, we enter into sugar, and also the branded and consumer food group was born. We launched a very popular chocolate brand in the Philippines, known as we call it Cloud 9. And we have also coffee, corn chips, and potato chips. In 1990, we go public, and then we have a lot of joint venture with the company of ConAgra Hunts and also Nissan's of Japan. In 2000, we opened a business in ASEAN for Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, Hong Kong, and China. And in 2006, we introduced a tea drink, which is very popular in the Philippines and in Vietnam, under the name of C2. And then Jack and Jill becomes an umbrella brand for all the snack foods in Asia. Having said that, going through 2017, we entered with a new joint venture with VitaSoy of Hong Kong. So we entered the soy business. And then in 2018, from a family corporation, we went to a professional. So we had a purposeful transformational and integrated sustainability headed by our new president, Mr. Irwin Lee. And in 2019, we launched again a revitalized our snack business under Jack and Jill and Great Taste Coffee. And we expanded our flour milling business in Manila and in Davao. So this is Universal Rubina Corporation. So these are all the branded and consumer food group that we have and our presence. And this is the agro-commodity division, which has two groups, the agro-industrial group composed of feeds and farms, and the commodity food group, which is sugar and renewables, and also where I came from flour and pasta division. So I just want you to know more. So our market position in different countries, like in the Philippines, we are number one snacks. Can you click on that? Snacks and candies, chocolates, and RTD. So these are the brands which Filipino loves. We have cup noodles. It's a joint venture with the Nissan's of Japan, and the tea drink. For in the Philippines, we are number three in biscuits and coffee under the brands of Magic Flakes and Presto. So this is our Philippine business. Going to Vietnam and Thailand, we are number three in tea drink, and we hold the number one position in biscuits and wafer under the brands of Lausanne, Dewberry, Tivoli, Cream O, and Fan O. So we supply all the flour requirements of our sister company from the Philippines. So having said that, we are also present in New Zealand. We have the number one sweet biscuits and number two in crackers. In Australia, we are acquired a salty snack business in 2018. So we are positioned number two. So our company is the number one company in the Philippines in terms of snack foods, and we are present in five categories. In four categories, we are the largest or one of the largest company in industrial and commodity business in the Philippines. We have five strategic partners. We are present in 13 markets, and we have a total revenue of 127.8 billion in 2018, so that's about $2.5 billion U.S. dollar, and we are growing 10% each year. Okay, so these are our facilities. So one of the leading players in the snack food and beverage in ASEAN as well as in Oceania region. And our facility is we have 37 branded and consumer food products. We have about 15 agro-industrial facilities. We have 11 commodity food facilities and 4 sales office and distribution centers. So our world-class manufacturing integrated supply chain, we manage our supply chain to ensure safety and quality of our products from raw materials. So we use 100% soft white for crackers and biscuits. And we have a very good production, and these are the brands that I have mentioned to you a while ago. So our company has a solid track record of growth and profitability, as well as we maintain a healthy financial position, providing our customer or stakeholders a consistent returns. So that's URC and JG Summit. This is our plan. This is the flour mill in Davao, down in South. I guess this is where our president came from, Davao. We are established in 1970. We have in operation since then. We import high quality of wheat again and passes through a very complex milling facility. We do flour blending. Unlike Indonesia, they do wheat blending. So our company do flour blending. So we have three plants. We have one in Pasig, one in Davao, and just recently we built another one in Pasig. Pasig is in Metro Manila. This is the main business center of the country. And I guess these are the brands that we have. It's so funny, in Asia, our brands comes in flower names, sometimes animals, and sometimes meteors. So with our company, we have these brands. And I'll just go through very quickly. So these are the hard flour. So we name it Universal Globe and Blend 100. It comes from premium, mid, and low bread flour. And these are the soft flour. As I have said, it comes with flour brands. We have Myro, Sampaguita, and Catlea. These are used for cookies, pastries, and crackers and biscuits. And we have the specialty flour. Unlike our friends in Indonesia, we have the patent, all-purpose flour is a patent flour for the Philippines, and also we have cake flour. And as my 15 years in the flour business, we come across with a huge or wide variety of products per application. So from these brands, we came with a lot of customized product to cater with our customer needs. So we have flour per application. So we have noodle, biscuits, wafer for our customer. We have also retail flour name under the name of Happy Greens. So let's go Asia. Okay, let me introduce you to Asian market. So this is the ASEAN GDP. So let me focus on the last 3 years. I borrowed this slide from Joe Sowers, our U.S. friend stationed in the Philippines. So the top three countries with the highest GDP is Indonesia, Philippines, and Malaysia. And having said that, let's look at the population growth of ASEAN countries. So the top three in the chart is Indonesia, Philippines, and Vietnam, with a positive population growth. So as you can see, Philippines at 1.6%. And look at the age of our population. We are so young. We eat a lot. We explore. We want Instagrammable food. It's very popular in Asia. So we don't anymore pray before eating. We just picture it and post it. So it's the craze. So you see, our population is very young. That's why we are explore a lot in food. Compared to other ASEAN countries where they have a high population, but the median age is not as young as what we have at the previous countries. And look at the wheat per capita of ASEAN. So you see, this is Malaysia. And the yellow line is the Philippines, and the gray line is Indonesia. So we have been growing our wheat consumption since 1980, and is growing so fast. Yeah, maybe because of the young population that we have. Okay, I think this needs to be adjusted, because this is from Joe. Our friend from Bogasari said they are 70% noodles. And so are other countries. So on an average, let's take a look at this entire Southeast Asia. The noodles is about 50% of our consumption. Bakery is 30% and biscuits at 12% and 8%. In our company, we import about 65% or 60% soft wheat and only 40% hard wheat because of the diverse product that we have. Okay, look at the wheat use of Asia. So this is the food and the feed use. So over the last 10 years, it has been growing by 80%. I borrowed it from Joe also. Okay, and of course, the rising middle class. This slide shows the consumption or the consumer spending from 2009, and the outer layer is the 2030. So this is the projection. So the one is North America, followed by Africa, Middle and North Africa. And then this is the growth, 3.3 trillion US dollar for Central and South America, and watch out how Asia would grow in 2030. So we are growing 571% from 2009 to 2030. So it's a huge market. We eat a lot. It's a young population. So it's many fish in the ocean. So let's go to the Philippines. Okay, so this is very quick. So as he mentioned, Steve mentioned a while ago, we are the number 4 wheat importers. Number 1 is Egypt, 2 is Indonesia. So in last year, we are at number 6, but very fast, we landed at number 4. And the wheat export to the Philippines, these are the types of wheat that we do export. We do imports in the Philippines. So HRS, SW, HRW, and SRW. So from 2008, we are at number 6. And then in 2014 or 13, we're number 3. And we landed 2nd in 2019. And look at how we've grown. How U.S. grown business have grown to the Philippines, it's 109 index over the last 10 years. So you guys are doing a good job. So it's really, really big growth for the last 10 years. And if you look at our usage, the U.S. wheat is over-indexing our country. Usage have increased by 86% for food use. And this is how it looks like. So this is a reading from AC Nielsen. It's a retail research company in the Philippines or in Asia. I don't know if you have like this here in US. So bread is growing at 19%, biscuits at 10%, and instant noodle at 7%. This is our all wheat products that we are eating in the Philippines. And by the way, this is the Philippine flour market. We are growing by only 51%. However, U.S. wheat has been growing by 86%, over-indexing our market. So it means that a lot of the local players are converting from the other source to U.S. wheat. So, good job. This is how U.S. wheat is reading our consumption. This is, we said that 50% of our products is for bakery or for bread, and 20% is for noodles, cookies at 20%, and the rest. So, if you try to look at the bakery business and the noodle market, it's about 70%. And looking at the bread products, the very popular products are the pandesal, which we all love, and the pan de americano. Can you remember? It's very proud that we name our bread through the American, so we call it pan americano. Okay, so this is how the soft flour market has evolved in the Philippines. So for the last 10 years, we have been, we use our wheat, our soft flour to blend with hard flour to make cues for this application, for noodles, wafer, and even for bread. Because of the huge influence of the quality of imported flour that was coming in from Turkey and other ASEAN countries. So, unlike before, we only have like two types of flour or maybe 10 brands. Now we have several brands for us to ensure that we deliver the customer needs. And as, again, just similar with Indonesia, we have this instant noodle market. So we use the instant noodles for, this is for retail, so you can find it in the supermarket. So this is our brand, Nissin's. It comes in cups and it comes in pouch. It comes with dry and wet. So you, if you want soup, you can just buy and put water on it. And another product that is, I think, common for Asian is the biscuits, cookies, and the wafer market. So these are the biscuits that we have. The top one are our biscuits, our brands. So we make those products, and the lower one is the competitors. So we have also wafer for spring rolls. So what you, I guess we are a very sweet person. We are, Filipinos are very sweet. So I just want to show you how indigenous we are, how we make our wrapper. It's just by hand. And we just place it in a big flat. So we make this wafer to make sweet products and also for savory. For bread, let's talk bread. So for bread, from the SME that was mentioned a while ago, we have the mom and pop. So these are the neighborhood bakeries that you can find anywhere in the Philippines. If you just go out of the house or subdivision, you're going to find this one. So these are one bagger, two baggers, and up to like five or seven. For one, the very popular product of the Philippines is the pandesal. So for a 25-kilogram bag, we can make about 1,500 buns that can feed the neighborhood. So from this one, we have the packaged bread, which is now getting popular. So we have a lot of brands in the market. We also, we have our own brands. We just established 2 years ago. It's Baker John, obviously from our founder, Mr. John. Okay, and we have also a foreign player like Gardenia. Sari Roti is also in the Philippines. And that's how our consumption in the Philippines look like. And you see, this is how the Philippines look like. We have a lot of urbanization going on in the metro, and as I've said, the population is very young. We go for a lot of convenience and food on the go. So because we have a lot of young population, they're very they explore a lot on food. They want instant. They want on the go. So we have a huge variety of product. We have biscuits, which has a different quality or different requires a different raw material. We have the noodles, a huge variety also. We want a mid or 9.5 protein and also a gluten of high as 25 or 27. But we also like about 9, but a gluten of 19 or 20 or 23 for our biscuits and wafer. So I guess with all of you hearing yesterday and today, there's a lot of potential that we have in Asia, also in the Philippines. So we need the variety of noodles are very wide. So we don't like a very low protein and low gluten. We like a little higher gluten. It's very important to us. It's influenced by Turkish flour and the flour coming in from other ASEAN, which was supplied by Australia. So I guess you've learned something from us today, that ASEAN is a very strong market because of our population and the growing middle class. The wheat-based product is a big market because of convenience. And consumer wants variety of high quality and consistent food. And the food manufacturer will continue to be efficient in production, looking for consistent quality raw material to sustain our growth in the market.
If you're a farmer listening to this, I hope you heard Elbora's repeated use of the word quality during her presentation. It's no accident the Washington Grain Commission has been pushing quality cultivars for the last 20 years. The signal is coming from our customers. And it is the quality and consistency of our wheat that provides companies like Universal Robito the wherewithal to continue to capture greater and greater market share, providing fuel for the company to reach even greater heights. Again, please visit the Washington Grain Commission Facebook page to see the slides that accompanied Elbora's presentation. I hope you enjoyed episode 178, or what I entitled, A Philippine-Centric View of South Asian Wheat Demand. Please join me here again next week for another episode of Wheat All About It.
We are all children of a special treat, a miracle of nature that we just call wheat. A history of starvation in times of want and woe. Wheat has been our savior, our grub, our gruel, our dough. There's always lots of problems when we have enough to eat, but there's only one dilemma when it's not enough wheat. We feed you.